Please turn with me this morning to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. This is found on page 1466 in your pew Bibles. Zephaniah chapter 3. And the reason I chose this passage is because John quotes this passage in John chapter 12 in the triumphal entry. So we want to read this passage in light of what Jesus did in the triumphal entry. Zephaniah chapter 3. If you get a chance to read, I think you really get the full impact of how beautiful this closing section is if you read the whole book of Zephaniah. Because he takes you from the depths to the heights. He takes you from the nation of Israel to the whole world and back again. And then we hit this section, which is absolutely one of my favorite passages, one of the most beautiful passages written about God's love in the entire Bible. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. This is God's holy word. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord, your God, is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrow for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we see a great declaration of your love. May you touch our hearts this morning. May you draw us closer to understanding that great love that you have for us in Jesus Christ. The love that sent him through the gates of Jerusalem on way to the cross. Lord, renew us, change us, build us up, Lord, that we would be equipped to serve you with hearts full, knowing satisfaction of your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in middle school, I went for a hike. I loved going hiking in the woods. I loved to wander through the hillsides, and this is nothing new to most of you because you know this. You've heard this from my mouth before. But one fateful day, as it was growing dark out, I was walking, and it was dark. It was the sun had set, and it's that time before after the sun sets, but there's still light, and you can kind of see your way around. I heard something behind me. I heard crunch, 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 a little bit off in the distance, and I wondered, wow, that's a big sounding squirrel. And so I turned around, and I'm looking, and there was a hill, and then it went over like this, so I couldn't quite see where the crunching was coming from. And so I kept on going and turning around, and we did this for a while. Well, I did. I was by myself at the time. I did this with whatever that thing was back there for a while. And so finally, I was getting nervous. What is this thing? So I climbed up into a tree and looked over the hill. And there, just on the back of the hill, was a black bear. And I swatched it mount up on the tree and claw the tree. And then I got terrified. I got that sinking feeling. What am I going to do? This is predates the days of cell phones like we have them now. So I couldn't call anyone. And I was in a bad position because I was up in a tree, which is a really easy place for a bear to climb up in. But I got that feeling. I couldn't breathe. I was paralyzed. So for several hours, I was up in that tree. And I made sure that the bear was long gone. And then I climbed down at night and went back home and was pretty late for dinner. But I got that sinking feeling that what am I going to do? I'm overwhelmed. You almost feel, you know, that feeling of fear where you can't breathe? You get that pressure on your chest. You can't move. It paralyzes you. What am I going to do? And it's not just bears. I mean, we don't have many experiences with bears wandering into the South Philadelphia, do we? But it's life can make you feel that same feeling of fear. You get a bill in the mail. How on earth? Now, this is double or triple or quadruple what I thought it was going to be. How on earth am I going to pay this? You set out your kids, give them more independence as a parent. And you have to do that as a parent, you know? Give them a little bit more independence, you train them. But you can't keep them, you can't treat them like they're 5 years old when they're 20 years old, can you? I hope not. You're giving them a little more, but it's a scary thing for parents. You don't, you know, your kid doesn't come home at their curfew. What are they doing? Where are they? They're not here when I ask them to come home. Or maybe it's a death that you've experienced. That makes you feel, what am I going to do? It makes you feel afraid. It makes you feel anxious. And for many of us, we feel like, well, I'm just going to get beyond the circumstance. Once that circumstance is out of the way, I'll be fine. I'll feel relieved. But then another one comes up. And then another one comes up. And you'll find challenging and circumstances that make you feel all through your life. Make you fearful. So the question is not, Jesus didn't just come into this life to take away bad circumstances in our lives, did he? He came into this life to bring us home to God. He said, he promised you that you in this life you will face troubles, many troubles, but I have overcome the world. So ultimately, we will face trouble after trouble. So it's not just, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, please take this circumstance away from me. We can do that, and that's what God calls us to do. But the fact, we don't just want the circumstance to be taken away. The question is, how do we dwell within circumstances that make us fear, that make us anxious? How do we get dwell in them? And that's what Jesus comes to do. That's what we see in this passage as he quiets us with his love, as he does all these things so that we need not fear in our present circumstance. No matter what we're facing, yes, it may be difficult. Yes, it may be challenging. But Jesus comes to bring us back to God. And in this passage, it's no accident that John quotes this line in the triumphal entry. Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Do not be afraid. Isn't that wonderful? Do not be afraid. But when someone tells me, do not fear, sometimes I still fear. But he gives a reason. Why should we not be afraid? See, your king is coming. Do not be afraid, people of Emmanuel. Why? Not only is your king coming, your king already came. And your king lives within you. So why don't you have to be afraid? Because he loves us. And this passage describes the heights of God's love. You know, if we were missing this passage in Scripture, I think we'd be missing something of God's love. It's such an amazing passage. So what should our response be? When we are touched by God's love, when we are touched by God's love, we should sing and shout aloud when God's love touches us. It's easy for you guys to sing songs you know. I remember just at the men's breakfast yesterday, somebody said we would, in the latest album of Biggie would come out, or there's a rapper, for those of you who don't know who Biggie Smalls is, or Jay-Z would come out, and we'd get it, and me and my friends, we'd memorize the entire album, we'd go to school and back, and we'd have every lyric memorized. And yet we come in here and we sing praises to the Lord like you just woke up. And I'm not saying you, but me as well. My mind's wandering. I have a confession to make. My mind wanders. I get bored. And yet, if we're truly touched by God's love, we shouldn't respond that way. Amen? We should sing and shout aloud with all that is within you. So shout, sing, for the Lord takes away first our fear and our guilt. Sing, for the Lord takes away our fear and our guilt. When's the last time you got out of your seat and shouted? When's the last time? Some of you might do it regularly, some of you sports fans out there. I remember very recently, I was watching the Olympic men's hockey game, the gold medal game, and I was really excited because this might be the first time the U.S. wins gold after the 1980 miracle, gold winning against Russia, and then I think it was the Czech Republic. But we thought it was over. Evie went upstairs to play, to get the kids. We thought it was over. And I sat there, gripping my seat, wondering what's going to happen. And with 24.4 seconds left, my boy Zach Parise scores! And I shouted. I leapt out of my chair. I was shouting for joy. I ran upstairs. They scored! They scored! They scored! We're going to overtime. It was one of the most memorable things I'd ever seen in sports. And that's okay. That's good. We get excited. That's who we are. But let me tell you something. If you're shouting when the Phillies make it to the World Series for the second time in 2 years, if you're shouting then you should be shouting even more. See, the problem comes in this other area. You should be shouting even more when we learn about God's love for us. Amen?
Amen.
Shout, how does he say it here? Shout with all that is within you. This passage was given to a battered little nation of Judah who was facing exile. They were anxious. The prophets just told them, this is going to happen to you. And then after all these terrible things happen to them, God is going to restore you. But first, he describes the situation. He says over and over, do not fear. They were anxious. And you may be anxious this morning. You may be feeling the weight of your sin. You know, there's three different ways that sin and the way it might make us feel affects us. And it's described in this passage. The first one is guilt. You know, guilt, you can feel it in relationship to other people. But usually when you feel guilt, you feel it yourself. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? You're kicking yourself. That's more in relationship to yourself when you feel guilt. Shame, the outward guilt, is often in this form of shame. I did that, now I have to face this person. You feel ashamed. Why do I have to face this person? And then you fear the consequences of your sin, what you've done. And we know, or maybe you don't know, but we know we have all messed up. We have all sinned before God. And you might feel, I don't know where you're at. You've never felt tremendous shame or tremendous guilt or tremendous fear over something you've done. Take your temperature. I've felt that over and over. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have felt that too. You just wonder, man, I should have done it differently. You see how you should have done it differently. And then the human thing to do is to begin thinking, well, time will heal all wounds. You know, we hear that. But God is perfect. He's eternal. He doesn't dwell in time. So if you sin against Him, if you rebel against Him, then it's there for all eternity. It just kind of hangs out there for all eternity. And so He must deal with it in some way. And His promise to Jerusalem, His promise to these people, it's really incredible here. He says, verse 15, "The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm." And then he says here, verse 16, "On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear. Do not let your hands hang limp." Do not fear. Do not fear. Why? Do not be paralyzed by fear. When a crime is in progress, I don't know if you've ever been where someone's been robbed or you see something horrible happen before your eyes. Most people do nothing. You know that? They stand and they stare and they watch. And they do nothing. Most of us, you say, well, I wouldn't be like that. Just wait. Just wait. Because by and large, it's the remarkable person that doesn't just stand and stare. But you see a crime in progress and your instinct kicks in. You're afraid. No, I'm not going to do anything because why? That person has a knife or that person might have a gun, and if I intervene, it might mean my life. And besides, I don't know that person anyway. Maybe they just, that's not a good thing to say, but you hear that. Maybe, you know, I don't know that person. It's a stranger. I'm not going to intervene. But fear paralyzes you. It makes you afraid. You can't move. You can't act. But here he says, do not fear. Why? Because the Lord has taken away your punishment, O Judah. He's removed the punishment that sent you to exile. Or here he's speaking before they go into exile. So he's going to remove your punishment. He will take away your punishment before you go into He will remove your punishment and turn back your enemy. God, this points to what Christ does for us on the cross. Amen? Because what does He do on the cross? He takes away our punishment. See, our ultimate fear should be about our relationship with God. Christ comes through the triumphal entry, not just to overthrow the Romans. He didn't come to do that. He came to save Romans and Jews alike. He came to save people throughout South Philly and throughout this entire area. How? Removing the punishment. Removing the guilt that was ours before God. Taking away our punishment. And when our punishment is taken away, He can give us peace and security with Him. Peace and security with Him. So that you no longer need to fear any harm. What's our response? What's our response? Verse 14, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Shout aloud with all that is within you because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? He has taken away, if you've trusted in Him, if you've confessed and said, I'm a sinner, I can't help myself, Lord, please help me. And throw yourself upon His mercy. He takes away your punishment on the cross. One of the most remarkable things, and Pastor Cummings said this in a sermon yesterday, the world does not forget the wrong you've done. If you are a convict, and you have a felony charge against you, it will stand before you for the rest of your life. As you try to get jobs, they will say, well, let's see here. You have great qualifications. Whoa, look at this. You were convicted of this crime way back when, 30 years ago. We don't want to give you a job. They will see that over and over and over. But God, the omniscient God, when He removes our sin, it's like it never happened. He forgets. He moves it as far. Think about that. It's mind-boggling that that is the way He removes our guilt. As far as the east is from the west, He removes our sin from us. Amen? That is reason to sing. That is reason to shout aloud with all that is within us. But we are going to get even deeper into His love. Sing because He removes our fear and guilt from us. Sing because the Lord delights in you. Sing because the Lord delights in you. If you have become one of God's own, if you are in Jesus Christ, listen to this. God is with you. It's amazing that the Jews back then, they're going to face exile. They're going to watch as their men are killed. They're going to watch as their women are raped. They're going to watch as their children are carried away as slaves. They're going to watch as their houses are burned and their fields trampled upon. Their cities made empty. Their once glorious city. And yet God declares to them, I am with you. I am still your God. I am still King. And I am mighty to save. And God has done something in Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ? What is His name given to Him? In Matthew, at His birth, before His birth. And He shall be called Nazareth. He shall be called Emmanuel. Which means God with us. God with us. This is affirmed over and over in this passage. God is with Judah. God is with you. If you are in Jesus Christ, He is with you. And there's no denying it. No matter what your circumstance looks like now, if you haven't come to Him before, come to Him now. Confess your sin and He will be God with you. And He will be working in your situation to alleviate your anxiety. The circumstances may not change, but He may take away your fear. He is mighty to save. Reason to sing? Now, some of you like to delight in things. Do you delight in things? Today, I hope to go home to my house for dinner and delight in beef brisket. I will let the surroundings fade away. And I will pick up chunk of meat after chunk of meat and savor it in my mouth. When we delight in something, we want to savor it, don't we? We want to make the moment last. When you see a great sunset or rainbows, it's springtime, you might see rainbows. You want to look at it and you're just in awe. You don't want the moment to pass away. When you're in love, you want to be in love for the rest of your life because it feels so good. Look at what God says about you. Look at what God says about you. Verse 17. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. Listen to that. Listen to that. Savor that line. He will take great delight in you. Think about that. Out of all the things people have a problem with believing in the Bible, oh, the flood never happened, and you know, creation, and you know, all that stuff, you know, the miracles, there's no way. I think this is the most difficult thing for me to believe, that He delights in me. He will take great delight in me. That He delights in you. That He delights in you. He looks at you and says, ah, my people. And if we delight, and we feel that way, imagine an eternal God delighting in His creatures, delighting in you and me. It's truly amazing. He delights in, it's much better than beef brisket, isn't it? He delights in you. He delights in you. Just this week, if you read nothing else for your devotions, read this section over and over and over. He delights in us. And He delights in us because of Jesus Christ. But He, before He sent Jesus to save us from our sins, because He knew what we would be like in Jesus Christ, He wanted to save us. He delights in us. I'm that piece of garbage blowing around the street in Philadelphia. The one that the cars run over, that when you come to church, you kick out of the way. Some people kick it out into the street. Some people pick it up and put it in the trash. That's what we are. But God, this is the great mystery. This is the greatest mystery, that He delights in us. Truly amazing. And He quiets us with His love. When your heart's raging, when you're feeling anxious, remember His love. Sing about His love. He quiets your fear, your anxiety, with His love. Yes, you can cry out and say, Lord, please save me from this circumstance. Please change the circumstance. Yes, you can. But don't forget, never forget to be quieted by His love. Never forget that. I forget it all the time. Think about His love for you, that He delights in you. That should quiet us. Amen? That is a reason to sing. But also, what is His delighting like? And this is one of my favorite lines here. What is God's delight in you like? Verse 17, He will rejoice. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice over you with singing. Can you imagine that? That He loves you so much. He delights in you. What is His delight like? You who have done so much wrong, me who have done so much wrong, what is it like? He looks at you and sings. He rejoices. Ah, my son. Ah, my daughter. No matter what you've done, do you understand this? He sings over you. He sings over you. God has a song for you. He loves you. Can you hear Him singing today? Now, I'd love to hear this audibly done. I can't wait to hear. I'm looking forward to the day where I join Him in heaven and hear Him. It's not just, see, worship then becomes not just me singing and being entertained. No, it's me singing. If I listen closely, I can hear God singing over me. And then one day, I pray that I can hear this audibly. Imagine what it's like to hear God sing, the creator of all music, the creator of beautiful voices, the creator of the angelic choirs, the creator of all these beautiful things, singing with His voice and singing about you. This is God's extravagant love for you. Can you hear it? The song goes something like this. I'm not going to sing. I sang twice in Sunday school today. I'm not going to sing. But the song goes something like this. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. And that song is sung from the beginning of Scripture, Genesis chapter 3, to its last pages. You want to know what the words are? Read this. God's love for you, singing over you. Don't you want to shout aloud and sing with all that is within you? Because He sings over you. He sings over you. Sing because the Lord is going to gather you home. Sing because He takes away your fear and guilt. Sing because He delights in you. He sings over you. And sing because He's going to gather you home. Verse 18, the sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach. A city who is empty is not feast. You know, if you go to sections of North Philadelphia or Camden and it's just desolate, you just, your heart sinks. What has happened here to make this place so desolate? Tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. No economy. That's what has happened there. And Jerusalem, Lamentations 1:4 describes the situation. Everyone's been killed or taken away. There's hardly any people left in Jerusalem. Great sorrow fills the city now instead of rejoicing. So no one comes to the appointed feasts. Verse 19, at that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have been put to shame. He will deal with the oppression that you are under. He will deal, he's talking here about the Babylonians. He will deal with their oppressors. But you begin to hear Jesus' ministry coming through. Remember the triumphal entry. Remember his life and his ministry. What does he do? He casts out demons, the demons that are oppressing people. What does he do? He rescues the lame. He heals them. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Casting out demons, healing those who need healing. And he restores people's honor. Those who have been shamed, he will give back their honor. And it's not, you don't want to think about it in terms of a humanistic kind of like, yeah, it's all about me. No, he restores, they have honor because they are God's people. They don't, so the honor comes from God. It's not a humanistic type of pride. And then lastly here, verse 20, at that time I will gather you, at that time I will bring you home, I will give you honor and praise among all the people of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. This happens in part for Judah after the exile when he restores them. But one thing you have to understand is that in the eyes of the people living in the New Testament, because they had no, they were ruled by the Romans, they thought they were still in exile. That's why on Palm Sunday they shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're asking Jesus, the one who's done all these miracles, now to overthrow the Roman government. They're saying, save us, save us. Hosanna. They are looking for an earthly salvation. They are looking for full restoration. And Jesus and John here is saying that yes, Jesus does come to restore you. Jesus does come to take you out of the exile, but it's out of the exile of your sin. So that in the rest of the New Testament, he describes it as being rescued from the kingdom of darkness and being brought into the kingdom of light. So Emmanuel, your exile is over because your king has come. That is reason to sing. He has ended your exile. He has taken away your punishment. He has taken away your fear. He has taken away your shame. He delights in you. He sings over you. He rejoices in his singing over you. Amen? Sing because he loves you so much. So when we sing the songs in the rest of the service, when we, throughout your week, you know, you don't have to open your hymnal to sing a song. Make up a song to him. Open your psalms and put it to song. Just sing to him. Shout aloud for what he has done. One thing that's natural, I mean, I've heard of people that don't like singing, but one thing that's natural to us human beings is singing. I'm amazed how I see this in my boys, especially Micah. He sings already. He does different motions to the songs already. Almost naturally. But the most amazing thing is, I'm not a dancer. I don't dance. I don't usually dance. But he hears a beat. He hears a song. And he starts dancing. It's amazing. He starts doing a little dance. We didn't teach him that. That's natural. He just does that. And Titus too. And so singing is very natural to us. Music, it speaks our language. And we sing easily enough. Someone told me this week that, you know, I can go to a club And I can dance to the music all night long. I can sing and just really get into it. But why do I have so much trouble when I come to church? That I'm anxious, oh man, this hymn has six verses, and you know, I'm anxious to go out the door. And I would say that when our attitude is like that, whether it's a song you like or a song you don't like, we're missing listening to the song of God. We're missing listening to His great love for us, that He delights in you, that He rejoices in you, and that He quiets you with His love. So now, let every day be a day of triumphal entry as you sing to Him, as you rejoice, as you shout to your Savior, and as you spread the word so that more can shout to Him and realize His love. Let us pray. Father, thank You that it's beyond us why You sing for us, over us, why You rejoice in us, why You delight in us. Lord, help us never to leave that place of knowing that You are so in love with us, far beyond what another human can feel for another human being, because You are the God of all eternity, and You love us from all eternity. You love us before the foundation of the world. So we praise You and thank You, Lord. Help us to rest in that love and be quieted by it when we fear our circumstances and our anxious and our shame. Help us to deal with our guilt on the cross. And help us to just realize Your love today and throughout all of our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.